Hello and welcome to Eight Podcast, where each month we profile new Irish music. My name is Ronan Connolly. This month I'm chatting to the highly acclaimed singer-songwriter Adrian Crowley, whose latest album, Season of the Sparks, won the prestigious Choice Music Prize for Irish Album of the Year 2009. We'll be listening to three songs from that album, as well as the title track from Adrian's third release, Long Distance Swimmer. So sit back and relax for the next 35 minutes as we find out who is Adrian Crowley and how he made the transition from studying architecture to making music. Adrian talks about his first ever gig, working with Nirvana producer Steve Albini, his subsequent albums and his songwriting methods. Plus, we have our Ask the Artist feature, this time with a question from Michelle Maiolo in New York. I'm looking for... When I spoke to Adrian Crowley, we began by chatting about his approach to music and how Simon Cowell had influenced his career.
I was in a friend's house one day, and he was giving me some pointers about an album that I'd been working on. I was working on at that time. And he said, no, you should really try singing in a different way. Get out of your comfort zone. And that kind of rattled me. I was going, what does he mean? And then the next time I was in his house, he was watching X Factor. And I couldn't believe that for a start. I was going, what are you doing? And he was just going, shh, wait a minute. And the judges were giving their rundown on one of the contestants. And one of them said, oh, you're working in your comfort zone too much. So I laughed because I thought, well, that's where he got the phrase from when he was giving me my point.
Yeah, well, in a strange sort of way, you've been getting advice from Simon Cowell then, I guess.
Yeah, through my friend, through the filter that is my friend. But anyway, So how did I get on to talking about that? Well, I think what I was going to say is anytime I'm working on something new, I'm not just going by the same methods as I always take, and I'm hoping that I discover new ways of expressing the music, new ways of approaching the writing and singing. That's what I mean, really.
Well, let's play our first song. We've got the track Horses Like to Dream All Night. Do you recall how this song was formed?
Yeah, the way that song came about was really nice. I was visiting a friend who's a painter in Galway. I was in her house, and we've been friends for years and years, and I hadn't seen her in a long time. And in the meantime, she'd become a painter, you know. She went and studied painting and really excelled at it. And I was really, really impressed, surprised with this turn in her life. And I was really taken aback by her paintings. They're so beautiful, and she was showing me all her drawings. And one of them was called Horses Like to Dream All Night. And stuck in my head. And I kind of wrote the song, not necessarily about her, but it was sparked by that, you know. And it's kind of a simple song, but it's sort of an ode to life, I suppose, you know.
Why do you run and lay among clover? Horses like to dream all night. Horses like to dream. Oh, why have you run and lay among the dark feathers? Horses like to dream all night. Horses like to dream. Oh, why must we see everything in black and white? Horses like to dream at night. Horses like to dream. Can you see the the Southern Cross hanging over us in its starry splendor. Horses like to dream all night. Horses like to dream. Can you feel the ants in my blood? Can you see the glow of the sky? Horses like to dream all night. Horses like to dream.
I was born in Malta, and my mother is Maltese, and my father, he's from Galway City. And I met in Africa, in North Africa, and the family moved around various parts of West Africa, and a short time was spent in Malta, and that's where I was born, and that's where, well, I have relatives there, you know, as you would imagine, because that's where my mother's from. And then we moved to Galway, so I grew up in Galway, went to school there, and then when I finished school, I moved to Dublin, and I've been living here more or less ever since, apart from a short stint in France. Dublin's been my home longer than Galway ever was. Galway is still my home, of course, but I've made my other home in Dublin.
Do you find that this traveling or being located in different places has influenced your work at all?
I think so. Traveling and really does stimulate your mind, I think. And even on short trips, I find if I'm by myself, I think a lot of people would agree that you notice things in other places that aren't so obvious to people who see them every day. And the same with the way people speak. When you're moving around, it seems like you see and hear things freshly, you know? And I think that must influence me, you know?
So you studied architecture in Dublin?
Yeah.
And then decided it wasn't for you?
Decided it wasn't for me. I kind of knew it wasn't at the start. I should have left it before I did. But yeah, I decided it wasn't for me. I had never really imagined that I'd get into music. I was more of a thinking that I might go down the art route, you know? My mother's a painter, and most of my siblings have an interest in, say, you know, photography or painting. And I worked as an illustrator for a while, and I was very much involved in painting. And I actually had some work in some group exhibitions, and I really thought that's the way I was going to go with my occupation or career, you know. But music just asserted itself on me, and I'm so glad it did.
Did you finish out the architecture and start working for a period of time?
No, I never finished college. So I just realized, it was sort of like an epiphany, you know. I just said, why spend time on something that I really don't have a passion for? It took me a while to realize that I didn't have a passion for it. And when I realized that, I thought, there's no point in continuing. So then I left college, moved into a house with some friends, and got really into photography. I had my own darkroom. I spent about a year doing different things like that, and I was working in different jobs. And then I plucked up the courage to play a gig. And then it took about a couple of years before I started sort of doing music more than just, say, a gig more than just a month, once a month or something. It slowly developed and built up a momentum, and I didn't really push myself to pursue it. I just wanted to see if I was fulfilling something within myself primarily. I wasn't really thinking about other people listening to it at the start, you know? So I was moving along quite slowly. Because of that, I was making music just for myself. I still do make music for myself, but I'm hoping that that it'll get beyond my room each time I write something, you know?
We're going to listen to another song now from your most recent album, Season of Sparks, and we've chosen the track The Three Sisters. How did that one come about?
That came from an experience I had when I first came to Dublin. The song was sparked off by a memory that I had of meeting these three girls when I first came to Dublin, and they were kind of cookie, you know. They lived in a house together with this big overgrown garden, and they didn't really know them that well. I'd met one of them before once, I think, and they called me. I was walking down a road near my house, and I didn't even know that's where they lived. And I saw one of them leaned out the window and called me over, and I went into their house and their garden and stayed there for a few hours. And you know, this is something that happened years ago, and then I just totally forgot about it. And then one day I was sitting down playing my guitar, and I started telling the story.
Down where the road turns out of view, down from the window they called to me, and the lanterns were covered with Indian veils in the garden of the three sisters. The three sisters. It's there that I waited for them to come, and then they did, and an Indian file, and under the honeysuckle vine, entangled I came entwined with the three sisters. It's often that I go along that way, and the house is long since empty now, and often that I think of the three of them, the three sisters, the three sisters. One she stood as a poplar does, the other swayed along to the song of the first, and she was the shy and curious one, my favorite of the three sisters, the three sisters.
Adrian, can you tell me about your first ever gig and how all that went?
Yeah, well, I was rehearsing with a cello player and bass player, and I think I was pretty scared about the idea of playing a gig. And if it wasn't for the fact that they booked a gig, I probably wouldn't have done that gig, that when I did, you know, little kind of mini amphitheater or lecture hall. And that was my first gig, and I was shaking like a leaf. When I look back on it, actually, the setup was terrible, you know. I mean, sure, there were lots of people there all sitting down. They were part of a club where they, you know, they'd it was like this society where they go to a gig once a month or once a week, and they didn't know what was going to be on. They just go there, and mostly it was classical. But the microphone didn't even work, you know, and there was loads of stuff wrong, and I was just singing at the top of my lungs, thinking that's the way you do it, belt it out, you know. And I was shaking like a leaf, and I'm glad there were no recordings of that, you know. But people seem to like it or clap or whatever. But it was kind of an ordeal. But at, behind the ordeal, I felt something really great. Not just like the fact that I got through it alive or whatever. I just felt this amazing elation. And the fact that I had done something with my songs and I brought them to another level. You know, brought them to strangers like that.
And so when was that? Like, had you anything recorded at this stage? Or?
No, I had nothing recorded. In fact, that was at the very, very beginning of my musings as a songwriter. And nothing. I wasn't really happy with anything enough for another 5 years before I recorded anything. So all the songs that I played at that gig, they're lost in my memory somewhere. I don't know. I don't even remember what songs they were. So, and I certainly don't have any recordings of them.
So your albums then, what was the first one you recorded or when was that?
The first album, A Strange Kind, I started recording that in 1998, finished 1 year later, the autumn of 99. And I recorded that in Finglas in North Dublin, in a music resource centre. It was sort of like a community project. So it was I think it was subsidised in some way. So recording sessions were really cheap. So once a month I'd go there and with a new song and record it. And then at the end of a year, I had an album. I haven't listened to it in years, I must say, but that was my first release. I self-released it in Ireland, but it was picked up 2 years later by a New York label called Bada Bing. And the first album of mine they released was actually the second album that I made. And that was an album called When You Are Here, You Are Family. And I recorded that in Chicago with Steve Albini in 2001. By the time we went to record, we just more or less recorded the whole thing live. You know, actually the guitar, drums, cello, vocals were all done in live takes, all simultaneously. So that was an amazing week. It was something else, actually. I couldn't really believe it. I was over there making an album with Steve Albini, and I felt a real step up from the previous album. I suppose at that stage, I had played a lot of gigs. So then the third one I recorded, there was a bit of a gap, actually. Let's see. It was, 3 years later, I recorded A Northern Country. And that was recorded in my sister's house. Actually, a couple of my albums were, but same sister, different houses. That one was recorded in over two weekends. Looking back, I think it's probably the most obscure of my albums and the most lo-fi. But it's an album I love, I must say. So that was 2004. And then 2 years later, I started recording Long Distance Swimmer. And it took me about a year to make that album. And that was the first one that seemed to make an impression on a whole number of new people. It sort of went beyond where I expected it to go. And certainly in Ireland, it was the first one in Ireland that I felt like reached people in a way that I hadn't reached before.
I was a long distance swimmer. Longing for the open water. Dreaming of the dry land. And swimming between the flags. I was a long distance swimmer. Silver horses. standing in the center of a fallow orchard. Standing in among the fallen fruit. I was a long distance swimmer. I dreamt I was in a golden pavilion. Strange garlands around my neck. And in my hand, a brittle star.
Season of the Sparks. I recorded not too long after Long Distance Swimmer was out. I started recording that. It took about 14 days, but not consecutive days, 14 days altogether. And that brings us to now. When it finally got a reaction, I was really heartening, more than heartening. It just made me feel the best I've ever felt, you know, apart from other things in terms of music, you know. It was the best experience, the best feeling that I'd ever experienced. And then in terms of what I was used to, you know, it was just, wow, way up, well beyond anything that I had experienced before. So, and then the Choice nomination, that was a big deal in itself, just the nomination. And then the win was totally unexpected. I just did not see that coming, and it was amazing. Great feeling.
Are your songs very personal to you? And if so, as I imagine they are, then how do you sort of reconcile that with actually putting them out there into the open?
Sure. It shouldn't make sense. It shouldn't follow that it is possible to put them across to people with an approach like that. But that's the kind of the mystery. That's one of the mysteries that I see in the whole music making and music delivery process. They take on another form to me when they're being performed, when I'm performing them. You know, they just come out, and I never feel obviously I feel exposed constantly, but I never feel exposed in a vulnerable sense, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I don't have a problem with them performing them in front of people then.
Adrian, can you give me an example of what's a typical songwriting routine for you?
Yeah, I have a few ways. I kind of try and get this feeling out of discovering something, sort of like when you're a kid and you've just, I don't know how to describe it, but there's a sweat. I used to get this sensation in my chest of excitement when I, you know, discover something. It's almost like a sense of wonder, I suppose, that you feel a lot when you're a kid. And I try and feel that when I'm discovering. It's like the first time you pick up an instrument and you try and play it and it's not really working out. And then you find something and it really like gives you a sense of wonder, you know?
Yeah.
And excitement. I get that from music, even if it's just little snippets or previews of something that might be that, you know, they're like little threads to something that's not finished yet, but it, you know, I follow those threads, and the way I write songs is kind of like following threads, and but I always have to have that feeling of discovery, and I never try and impose the song on myself, never try and impose the words on each other or the music onto the words. So I do keep it as a bit of a mystery, and I'd be working on a few songs at the same time, you know, several at the same time. And they might all find completion in the same week or so. So then all of a sudden, I have a whole bunch of new songs. And it's very exciting. You know, I still get really excited about it.
Do you have a set time where you get up each day and sit down at a desk and work your way through lyrics or pick up your guitar and play for an hour or two?
I do, yeah. Every day I do. I find time and I have time to do that. And I have a room where I go. I often have a notebook in my pocket, and being really close to my piano or my guitar or whatever my instruments that I have, that's really important to me. If I go into a room and I have to spend time setting up my keyboard or whatever, plug in my guitar and stuff, I could lose some immediacy or whatever. So it's great having a room just for music.
Listeners to Ish Podcast probably know that we recently started a feature called Ask the Artist, whereby you can call in and put your question to our featured musician. This month, we have a question from Michelle Maiolo in New York.
Hi, Ronan. This is Michelle calling from New York. I have a question for Adrian. Adrian, your lyrics to your songs can be very abstract, even though they're talking about really common everyday concepts. I'm just wondering what leads you to write in that fashion with such abstract imagery in your songs?
That's a nice question. I don't know what leads me. I suppose it's just a way I have of writing and it's an instinct that I have. And I think maybe there's something in the fact that I come from a visual background. I think I do. I mean, like I was saying earlier on, the things that maybe have shaped me. The other disciplines that I became immersed in were quite visual, you know? And maybe there's an element of that in the way I approach writing. But there is an element of the music can bring me anywhere, and I get a real sense of wonder from that. But it's not totally abstract in the sense that I'm maybe writing psychedelic songs or anything like that. There's always something in my everyday life that will be in there. So it's true to me anyway, that I feel like there's this other world. So a friend of mine was saying that he wrote something about my album just for me to read. You know, he said he thought what I do is a celebration of the world around me, but the world that I might have inside as well. And that's beautiful. It's sort of, a huge, I would take it as a compliment that he thought that hard about it, but it's not really an answer to Michelle's question. I think it's more like I can only sketch around an answer.
Adrian, we'll finish off with the song The Wishing Seat from the album Season of Sparks. Is there anything you recall about this song?
That song, I suppose I might have put it there because it's one of the few songs that I have a chorus in, and also it was one of the few songs that was a lot of hard work to capture it the way I thought was the way that worked. It was the only song on that album, Season of the Sparks, that that we really went back to time and time again, revisited and re-recorded a few times and tried to find our the way we pitched the song in terms of delivery. It was the one, it was the most difficult one to get right, you know? And in a way it was like, it felt like a triumph then in the end when we got it the way it is now.
And what's the story behind the song?
Well, it's about mainly just realization of things past, things, a moment that you're in and trying to put it in stone almost.
Well, Adrian, it was a real pleasure chatting with you. I'm really looking forward to the new album, hopefully coming out in the spring.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure for me too.
And thank you to listener for tuning into Aish Podcast. My name is Ronan Connolly, and I'll be back on the first day of next month to profile another new Irish musician. In the meantime, don't forget to check our blog, newirishmusic.wordpress.com, and also check out Aisht, the Irish music podcast, on Facebook. Oh, and have yourself a very happy holiday season.
The swallows clumsily gathered, and under distant bridges swifted along. The heavy-bellied clouds scudded overhead in the October glow. Will you follow me there again tomorrow to a secret place to meet? Running by once again to the wishing seat. Once again to the wishing.